Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On DAB Plus, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers and leading guests from the world of women's football.
Cuts back onto her right foot and finds the net!
On TalkSport 2.
Welcome to Women's Football Weekly. I'm Faye Carruthers. Drama in Manchester as Spurs shocked City with a controversial late winner.
Deliver the cross, hoist it in, hits Horton, hit the post and the goalkeeper and has gone in. And incredibly, Tottenham have turned it around, but was there a hand in there?
Well, handy for us. We'll be speaking to Spurs assistant boss Vicky Jepson, as well as getting Aston Villa defender Anita Asante's thoughts on refereeing standards in the league. Elsewhere in the WSL, Chelsea bounced back from their opening round defeat in style against Everton.
Right turn, Kerr, 3-0. Precision from Chelsea all over the field. Sam Kerr has her second.
We'll also hear from Serena Wiegmann as she starts her new role as England head coach.
Just walking on the pitch, being aware of what kind of stadium I'm walking in, and then with the English shirt, it started now.
And we'll be wrapping up the rest of the weekend's WSL action, touching on Vivian Miedema's century of goals with Arsenal and England legend Kelly Smith, and looking ahead to England's World Cup qualifiers as well. This is Women's Football Weekly, National Radio's only dedicated women's football show.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Jordan Nobbs, and you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
Hello team, how are we? It's another Monday. That comes around quickly, doesn't it? Another brilliant weekend of women's football as well. 21 goals across six games this weekend. Delighted to say that Anita Asante, Aston Villa defender and former England Arsenal and Chelsea player, is with me today. How are you doing, Anita?
I'm very well, Faye. How are you?
Very good. You had a very busy weekend, didn't you? Playing on Saturday, then part of the BBC coverage on Sunday. Now Women's Football Weekly on Monday.
Exactly. You know, had to fill my time, and it was worthy as well. I enjoyed it.
Find out from Craig David what you're doing for the rest of the week. Right, the shock result of the weekend came on Sunday night live on Sky Sports. Let's take a look back at that dramatic FA Women's Super League clash with Now.
Women's Football Weekly Preview on TalkSport 2 with a Now Sports membership. Stream weekly weekend matches from the Women's Super League live without a contract from just $9.99. Search Now Sports 18 plus, stream via internet, terms apply.
So Greenwood standing over the corner, plenty forward for Manchester City. Towards Lauren Hemp, who meets it and guides it in with a clever header. Spurs just didn't react. And Manchester City in front with just 6 minutes on the clock from the well-worked set-piece. Plenty forward. Angledal will cut it back. This is wide. And a touch over the top from Rebecca Spencer. That's a brilliant save. It's in a game towards White. His presence was a distraction and Becky's placed it over. It's another big chance for the Olympic champion. It's Graham, who's just come on immediately into the action. Finds Ubugagu, who first substitute. With options arriving in White, in towards Graham. Behind her is Williams. And completely against the balance of play, Tottenham Hotspur are back on terms. With the first WSL goal for the club for Rachel Williams. But the substitutes combined for Spurs brilliantly in the build-up here. Switches it up for Angela Addison in space to deliver the cross. Hoists it in, hits Horton. Oh, hit the post and the goalkeeper and has gone in. And incredibly, Tottenham have turned it around. But was there a hand in there? Ayan, the substitute, going up for that. That's what Manchester City are appealing for. It did appear to strike the arm, looking at that, but it wasn't spotted by the officials.
That was a look back at some of the weekend's Women's Super League action with Now. Don't forget, with a Now Sports membership, you can stream the biggest moments from the Women's Super League, as well as the Premier League and F1, all without a contract. You just need to search Now Sports.
Women's Football Weekly Preview on TalkSport 2 with a Now Sports membership. Stream weekly weekend matches from the Women's Super League live without a contract from just $9.99. Search Now Sports 18 plus. Stream via internet. Terms apply.
So delighted to say that joining myself and Aston Villa defender Anita Asante is Vicky Jepson, Tottenham's first team assistant coach, to look back on that fantastic win at Spurs' first ever over Manchester City. God, I bet you're buzzing, Vicky.
Yes, I didn't sleep last night with the excitement. It was a good day for the players, for the staff, and certainly for the fans, because it's tough going away from home, but especially when you're away from home against such an incredible set of players as Man City do have. So it was a remarkable step forward for us as a club.
Yeah, it really feels like it. That's exactly what you need right at the beginning of the season as well, just to inject some confidence, isn't it?
100%. I think momentum is key going into any season, and two wins on the bounce is puts us in a good place to continue that momentum. Definitely, there's still lots we need to work on. We know that, and we'll reflect on that when we're back in the training ground. But for us to go toe-to-toe and compete and come away with 3 points last night is a great step forward for us.
Listen, slightly fortuitous circumstances, though, and, you know, the chuckle says it all, doesn't it? The handball was clear for everybody to see from Rosanna, and I think, you know, you'll even put your hands up with that. Frustrating from Manchester City's point of view. I want to just play you Gareth Taylor's post-match interview before we go and dissect that. Have a listen to what he had to say.
You can really see that it's blatant. I don't know how the referee doesn't see it, but certainly if there's got to be some official in the stadium who sees that incident, it just felt that a lot of things went against us tonight. It's a tough one to take, but, you know, we need to bounce back, and we will do.
That was Gareth Taylor there. It was clear that the handball was missed from Rosanna Ayan. What did you make of that whole circumstance, Vicky?
Well, I think in the moment, see, Gareth wasn't appealing in the moment. So obviously he's watched the game after, and it's easy to then say that in your interview. The City technical area appealed for quite a lot, but they didn't appeal in that moment when we scored. And watching the game back, there was only one player in the Man City squad that appealed for it, which was Georgia Stanway. Mm. So for me, I saw the goal go in the back of the net. I didn't know it was a handball. I watched the game back afterwards. And look, it's hard for... We can blame the referee, but she's only human. It's hard to see in that moment. Everybody back at home and yourselves will have watched it on TV. And it's very easy to see when it's zoomed in and you've got the perfect view and you get to see replays after replays. So I think we can look at it two ways. I've been on the receiving end when decisions haven't gone my way plenty of times in the women's game.
Yeah.
So I think we've earned our luck by staying in the game. But if that was the only one opportunity that we had in front of goal to win it, then I would say, blimmin' heck, we were bloody lucky.
Yeah.
But we actually had another opportunity where we could have won the game with Jess Nav through 1v1 against the goalkeeper, which we should have finished. So for me, I honestly can sit here knowing that we did everything that we could, sticking to our game plan against an extremely outstanding team that Man City are, and we've come away with a well-earned 3 points. So I think it's credit to the hard work and the resilience that we showed, especially when you go 1-0 down so early on. It could have deflated us, and I wasn't sure, we're a new group, which way we would have gone. And the way that Lauren Hemp was playing in that game, she was exciting on the flanks, and as Mita Ayla had a work cut out, we had to try and double up in those areas to stop those balls coming in. But the game plan was making sure we had active pressure in certain areas and making sure that we were diligent in the times that we press. And I've obviously watched the game back and looked at our stats, and our stats say that we were extremely high on our regains when we pressed, and that's sticking to our game plan. So, you know, from us, we're really, really pleased. I know it's a controversial winning goal, but there were other opportunities that we could have won it. And I think on another day, you know, the first game of the season, Man City were flying with the amount of goals they got against Everton. Maybe we were just fortunate in the moment that they weren't as clinical as they can be, but we may have earned that by frustrating them, by establishing so much control of the game without actually having the ball. So I think massive credit to everybody was wearing a Spurs shirt last night to come away with those 3 points.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's one of those situations, isn't it, where everybody will always look at this and look at Rosella's handball and say that's why you won.
Absolutely.
But actually, if you look at the 90 minutes, you know, you as you say, you had to break them down to do that. I think Anita has a question for you, actually, Vicky.
Go on, Vicky. Go for it.
How impressed were you with your team's game management? Obviously, Becky Spencer came up with a cracking save to keep you in the game, you know, for a long bout of the spell of the game when you were under pressure. And what lessons do you think the team would have learned from that experience, you know, despite the manner in which you won the game?
I think, do you know what? It's just the part that everybody played, whether they were a starter, finisher or a supporter. Becky Spencer was a super cat once on the night. We can't move away from that. If she's not on form like she was, it's a completely different game, because I think the longer it was at 1-0 and the longer that City couldn't find the back of the net, the more frustrating they were getting, the more they were wasting chances. We've seen quite a lot go over the bar, but for Becky to keep switched on in its important moments to not deny them getting that second was so important. And I think, you know, we had an injury. Shalina had to come off the pitch. It was 6 minutes added time and your nerves, you're riding your luck. Kez Harrop's got thrown onto the pitch to play centre-half when we're in a deep block, and it's credit to her, 150 appearances in the WSL. So we've got lots of little celebrations in our squad. Obviously, Rachel Williams finding the back of the net, and it's been a while for her, but I think across the group, there's lots of little celebrations for us at Spurs that we can hold our heads high and be proud of that performance.
Yeah, the second half substitutions made a big difference as well, didn't they? And it does feel as if this is a more coherent Spurs side this season. I know we bumped into each other at the Spurs training ground car park the other week, and we were chatting away about how you've settled in there and what Rianne Skinner's trying to implement. But I'd love you to tell all our listeners the change that's going on at Tottenham. And the evolution, if you like.
Oh, listen, I wouldn't have gone to Spurs and left the lovely Northwest to go down south if it wasn't the right club with a good vision and a clear vision on how they were going to progress as a women's setup. The investment that they've put in the backroom staff has grown now, the team behind the team. Obviously, we've seen a massive change in the squad on the grass. And I think the priority is you've got to look at the grass and work backwards from that. We're currently in the training ground, which is fantastic, and we've got developments going on there, which I'm sure in the next coming months will be announced to everybody to know what's going on at Spurs. But it's a great feel to be at the club, and I think it's been a while since I felt valued at a club, and I really enjoy every moment wearing the Spurs badge.
That's brilliant to hear. I'm so pleased for you after everything that you've gone through, and I'm pleased for women's football that actually, you know, we've talked in not so kind terms about Tottenham in the past, and your former club Liverpool as well, obviously. But now, you know, shows like Women's Football Weekly, the Women's Football Show on the BBC, and now Sky coming into the mix as well, and of course the amazing work that the women's football writers do, highlighting some of the issues in the women's game, is absolutely crucial, because things then finally start to get done, and you know, people like you standing up for it and everybody else involved in the game is vital. Vicky, so lovely to chat with you.
No problem.
Chat more in depth, I'm sure, across the season, but good luck for the rest of the season.
Take care, you too.
See you later. Vicky Jepson there, assistant first team coach at Tottenham Hotspur. Anita, we need to go in depth a little bit with Man City. I mean, I suppose Chelsea in some ways are rubbing their hands with glee after their opening day defeat. But it's been a really bad week for Gareth Taylor's side. Their exit from the Champions League 2-1 to Real Madrid on aggregate. So they just haven't, you know, reached the group stages, which would have been a big target of theirs. You know, they got through to the quarterfinals last season, really disappointing. And the fourth year in a row losing to a Spanish side as well. What's going on there? Is it just the injuries that are the problem, or is there something else?
Yeah, I think it's been a tough start for them. Obviously, having a lot of players away, perhaps at the Olympics as well, hasn't allowed them to gel as well as they had hoped for. The injuries have not helped, because you know, you have key players out, leaders in the team, such as Lucy Bronze, who aren't available. And that injury list only appears to be growing. It's been a tough start. But, you know, if you look at the context of the game against Tottenham, arguably, you know, they were the dominant side for large spells of the game, and they had a lot of chances and just weren't as ruthless and clinical in front of goal to win the game. So is it a crisis in terms of their playing ideology and the philosophy not working? No, I'm not so sure about that. But yeah, of course, it's a worry when you have so many players out and you need that depth in your squad. And now their main focus will be trying to win the WSL league now that they're out of the Champions League.
Refereeing is a contentious topic anyway. We've talked about it a lot on this show, but unfortunately that match, you know, City will put a lot of that down to, you know, a poor refereeing mistake. How the assistant referee didn't spot that, I don't know. But, you know, I have spoken to both the FA and the PGMOL about standards in the leagues. Of course, the PGMOL now looking after the WSL and Championship. This is the guidance that I've been given. We really would like to speak to somebody from the PGMOL in particular, and also, you know, from the FA. And I think we will speak to Bibiana, who's obviously part of the PGMOL looking after women's football eventually. But what they've said is both the PGMOL and the FA are fully committed to improving the standard of refereeing throughout the women's game and to ensure our officials receive the necessary training and support to conduct their job to the best of their ability. They do need a little bit more help though, don't they, Anita?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the difficulty is that the game has come a long way. The product on the pitch is brilliant at the moment, and it only continues to get better and better. You're having more clubs, a full-time professional environments and professional players. So, you know, we want officials to match that. And until I think the officials are also getting the support where they can be full-time and professional, I think it's always going to hold our game back a little bit because, you know, it's a tight league at the top and the bottom. And these types of games and results really matter. And you need those moments to go the right way, because it can have a significant impact for not only those players, but the club. So with so much investment in, you know, for clubs these days as well, it's super important that they get those decisions right. So fundamentally, I think that's where the change or new, you know, implementation needs to happen.
Yeah, and the spotlight is on now. We've got more cameras than ever at ground, so things get picked up more. We talk about it more because the women's football is across the media. So I just want to play you former Premier League referee Mark Housey giving his thoughts on the incident. He was speaking to TalkSport's Hawksby and Jacobs earlier on today.
I think an incident like that, I think the referee and assistant will be very disappointed that they've not seen it. I mean, they're both in great positions to see that. And it's obvious as soon as you see it, that it's clearly handball. You don't jump with your arms in the air.
No.
In that situation, and of course, it was a clear handball and it should have been seen. And I'm sure that they'll be giving operational advice on that situation.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Former Premier League referee Mark Housey there speaking to TalkSport earlier on today. We've also got some thoughts from Arsenal legend Kelly Smith as well about refereeing in the WSL, which I'll play you at the top of the next part of this show, because interesting what she has to say. Of course, we've heard from Chelsea manager Emma Hayes before wanting to push for VAR in the league. But this is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers. Anita Asante of Aston Villa is with me. And coming up, we're going to talk about her side versus West Ham and Chelsea Everton. This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the only show on national radio dedicated to women's football. I'm Faye Carruthers, and Aston Villa's Anita Asante is with me. Don't forget, if you do miss any of our shows, or if you want to listen again, our podcast is available on the TalkSport app, so you can download it today. I did promise you that we were going to hear from Arsenal legend Kelly Smith, didn't I? I know we've talked about refereeing extensively over the first three shows of this season, but it's pretty pertinent. And TalkSport's Bradley Hayden spoke to Kelly Smith earlier on today about the refereeing standards in the league and whether Emma Hayes, Chelsea manager, is right to be pushing for VAR in the league.
I can see that she's trying to, you know, push boundaries and have the best for the women's game. And certainly I see it coming into the game in a few years, potentially. It's a very expensive product to be bought in. And this is still a fairly new professional league. So I don't think right now that it's the time for that. I think it's more about educating the players, the referees, bringing the standards up of the referees. You know, the referees should not be part-time in a professional league, in my opinion. We need professional referees and better standard of refereeing, but you have to educate, they have to learn. And Kelly Simmons, the director of women's, the professional league, has brought in Bibiana Stenhouse. I can't say her name, but she's a top, one of the top female referees in women's football. And she's actually refereed in the men's Bundesliga. And she's come in now across, she's going to oversee all the referees in the FAWSL and the championship. And I think that's a good signing because, as I said before, she is a brilliant referee, the best referee that I've had, referee a game of mine. And she's so knowledgeable. She's good at what she does. And I think her knowledge, she can share that with the referees.
That was Arsenal legend Kelly Smith there finishing quite abruptly, but she had a very abrupt point, so I think that's fair enough. An interesting one, Anita, isn't it? Because there is more investment that needs to be made. They are making that progress, but it's perhaps not quite keeping up with the speed that the WSL and Championship are going at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree more with Kelly. I think it's about where you direct that investment, you know, and what is pertinent to the sport right now and where it's at. And it is probably investing in the officials to raise their standards to match the quality of the product on the pitch at the moment. Of course, we want to have parity with the men's game in terms of new tech and those advancements coming into the game. But maybe that's not where, you know, that money and investment should be directed right at this moment.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Right, speaking of Emma Hayes and her VAR points, didn't need VAR at the weekend. Chelsea 4, Everton 0 was how it finished at King's Meadow. Producer Flo was at this one as well. Flo, it was a great game for Chelsea to bounce back from.
Yeah, they were unstoppable. I mean, they had 27 shots yesterday. I know Emma Hayes was not impressed in terms of the scoreline because she wanted a lot more than four. They dominated from the first minute onwards, to be honest. Everton didn't have much of the ball. I think Chelsea had 60% possession throughout most of the game. And Sam Kerr and Frank Kirby were absolutely flying. That front three of Harder, Kirby and Kerr were so good. Harder was really unlucky not to get a goal. So, yeah, I think Chelsea potentially back to their best. I think the back three is still an interesting option, and they, you know, they haven't yet been able to really show maybe what that back three can do together as a unit, but it's certainly a confidence boost, and Emma Hayes will just keep pushing them.
One of those things, isn't it, that we go into an international break now just as teams are starting to kind of click, having had a little bit of pre-season, getting players back from the Olympics and other places, and now they've got to go back on international duty again. And certainly that result feels like there's a little bit more pressure for Everton manager Willie Kirk, Anita, after a summer of big spending. Let's hear what he had to say, because he said he believes within enough time his team can challenge the top three, but if he doesn't improve on last year's finish, he thinks he's failed.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I've been here almost 3 years now, and every year we've improved. So, you know, if we don't improve this year, I've failed. Objective for us is to improve on last year, you know, and the players weren't happy. We were talking about fourth, the players wanted to talk about top three, and so did I. So that's why we've been talking about it, and rightly so with this group. They're an ambitious group, and, you know, I think Emma improved year on year in those first few years and won our trophy. So we've got to continue to invest in that playing squad, and continue to invest, as I said, in the infrastructure and the working practices that we're going through every day. And once we continue to do that, and if I'm still here because I've improved things every year, there's no reason why we can't be competing as a title winning team in the next 2 or 3 years.
Everton manager Willie Kirk there. Anita, I kind of thought Everton might be pushing this season and knocking on the door.
Yeah, I'm sure that was the expectation, you know, that they would push on. But you got to remember, it's still a very young team that they're putting together. And in the context of the season so far, both opening matches have been against the top two, three teams in terms of Man City and then meeting Chelsea. So, you know, it's very tough to meet teams like that so early on in the season. The thing I felt they were lacking, you know, watching that game, was a bit of maybe more experience in the side and leadership to manage some of those situations better, especially when they went 1-0 down and then 2-0 down from a mistake. You know, it sort of led to the floodgates opening up, and arguably Chelsea could have scored more goals. But the point is, you know, they still have time to try and regroup, maybe use this international break as a reset button to sort of, you know, sort of, I guess, analyze where they can improve and try and bounce back from these results. But it's really tough. You know, I think that the difficult thing for them was the margins in which they're losing the games by. Mm. Perhaps they would still lose to the likes of Man City and Chelsea at this point. But, you know, that's got to be a concern, how many goals they're actually leaking in.
Yeah, definitely. And certainly the hierarchy at Everton unhappy about it, because Everton's women's sporting and commercial director, Sava Ismailov, who's also a member of the Everton Women's Strategic Leadership Team, wrote on social media afterwards, unacceptable. That tweet has since been deleted, though, but clearly his thoughts have been known.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a very emotional response. Mm. Perhaps not, in my opinion, the most professional thing to do. You want to support your players and your team. You know, no player wants to go out there and not perform and, you know, obviously not get the result that they want. But that happens in football. It's about how they regroup, how they can come back from this and try to improve their game plan. I think what I felt watching the game is, at times they had the right numbers in the right area, but they were just passive in their press. You know, their arguments for the lineup maybe not being the right lineup in terms of maybe having some of attacking threats in the terms of Tony Duggan and perhaps Daly through the midfield to just utilize experience, the WSL experience that players like that have to manage the game better for their team.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair to them, they were also facing a Chelsea side who'd lost their opening game and were going to come out all guns blazing as well, which exactly. is never going to help things, is it? listen, your team this weekend, though, another defiant fight back. West Ham 1, Aston Villa 1, 4 points from losing positions. Talk us through the game from your point of view.
Yeah, I think in all honesty, we would accept that the first two games we have had slow starts and we haven't started with the intensity that we had, you know, strategized for. But what we can take heart from is, despite going a goal down in both games, that we had the character and the resilience to stay in the game and fight back and get a result from it. You know, I think the West Ham game, especially the second half, we really grew into the game and we were probably had more of the ball and had some really good chances to score and win it. But ultimately, you know, we have to limit the mistakes as well. And I had an error in the box myself, which I can tell you, I've been in that position probably 100 times and been able to clear the ball. And in that instance, it didn't happen for me. But it is a good lesson to the team, to myself and to young players watching as well. It's about how you recover and how you stick together as a team. And I think we definitely have that this year. And knowing that we aren't starting as well as we hope to, but we still have that in our toolbox, is a really strong position for us to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. And Remy Allen as well, you know, you talk about that kind of resilience. You also have to put your hands up, you know, when you make a mistake, but you've also got to put your hands up with a bit of praise when someone like Remy Allen comes and rescues things for you.
Yeah, I mean, Remy's a fantastic player for us. You know, she's got great leadership. She has a wealth of experience in the WSL and she is, you know, she's dogged. She fights for the team. She makes incredible runs forward to create for our team as well. And she's propped up in really important moments for us to capitalize and get points on the board. And likewise for Hannah Hampton, you know, she's made some incredible saves in both matches that's kept us in it and allowed us to stay within the game and fight back.
Yeah, fantastic signing. West Ham, though, still searching for that league home win after going winless in Dagenham last season. We're hoping that we'll get to speak to their boss, Ollie Harder, at some point this season as well and find out what West Ham's ambitions for the season are. Right, this is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers alongside Anita Asante of Aston Villa. And next up, we're going to be rounding up the rest of the WSL.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Women's Football Weekly with Faker Others.
She's around the goalkeeper and has rolled it in.
On TalkSport 2.
You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2 with me, Faker Others, and former England defender Anita Asante. So, the rest of the FAWSL over the weekend. Brighton are absolutely ripping up trees at the moment, aren't they? 5-0 winners over Birmingham. Danielle Carter getting her first goal for Brighton in that thrashing. They dominated just from start to finish. 67% possession. Goals coming from across the pitch as well. They are top of the table after winning their opening games and scored 7 without conceding. Incredible stuff from Hope Powell's side. Anita, what should they be aiming for this season? Because Hope has regularly said she wants to start trying to break in to the top three slash four. You could put United in there as well, obviously, as well. They're putting so much money into the training facilities and everything. It's such a well-run club at Brighton. Where can they finish?
Well, it seems that they've just picked up where they left off last season. Obviously, they finished very strong. They got a really positive result against Chelsea. And now, you know, we're seeing them flying in terms of the goals they're scoring and securing clean sheets, which is important, especially at the beginning of the season. I'm sure they'll be aiming to try and push within that top four, five bracket, you know, and see what happens from there. But ultimately, I think they'll be high on confidence, and it's going to be a case of if they really believe when it comes to playing those top three, four sides.
But that's what Hope Powell can bring to them, can't she? That belief.
Yeah, absolutely. Because of her, you know, long, you know, experience in the game, both at domestic club football and obviously in the international level, she should be able to instill that within the players. She's obviously made them very organized. They're a very robust team. They're a difficult team to meet, actually, because they have a bit of everything in terms of physicality. They're aggressive. They're quite dangerous from, you know, set piece situations as well. So, yeah, I'm sure that she'll be encouraging them to really believe in themselves and keep on with solid performances.
It would be very, when you think of Everton's start to the season, Manchester United obviously in a bit of transition at the moment with Mark Skinner taking over as well. It'll be certainly interesting to see whether Brighton could be pushing them out of that fourth spot in the WSL and knocking on that top three door. Arsenal having a fantastic start to the season as well. Reading 0, Arsenal 4, 6 points from 6 under new manager Jonas Eidevall. And they were just ruthless, weren't they? But you can't take any of the headlines away from Vivian Miedema taking her Arsenal total to 102 goals in 111 games. As a defender, Anita, is she terrifying to play against?
Of course, you know just how clinical and ruthless she is in front of goal. And the thing with Miedema is that she has a bit of everything. You know, she's got that finesse as well. She likes to chop players and she's sending you one direction and then the next minute you're on the floor and she's getting a shot off. So she's a very difficult player to mark because her football intelligence is so good, her movement and her link-up play. You know, she not only finishes goals, but she puts other players into good positions as well.
Yeah, she's superb. And we heard from Arsenal legend Kelly Smith earlier on refereeing and VAR. But let's carry on the chat she had with TalkSport's Bradley Hayden, because she was talking about Miedema's century and whether or not she should be considered one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, definitely. Her goal scoring statistics are off the radar. You know, 49 with her right foot, 41 with left foot, 10 headers, but no penalties. That surprised me because normally your strikers stand up and take the penalties, but to score over 100 goals just speaks volumes. And she's got such good players around her that feed her and give her good balls in the right areas. She would be a dream to play with. You know, she's so calm and composed on the ball. She's not your typical number nine. You know, she can drop into the space and create and draw players into her. Then the space is ready for her to run in behind. Just her movement is so, so intelligent. And definitely for me, she's up there as one of the best in the world, if not the best at this current time.
Yeah, she's absolutely superb. Where does she rate for you, Anita?
Yeah, I can agree with, you know, Kelly Moore. I think she's definitely a world-class player and she's proven that in her statistics and her goal-scoring records. And she's still a young player, but she's achieving so much already. And she's frightening because, like Kelly says, you know, she is a number nine, but she has the ability to play in this false nine position and take defenders into areas that they really don't want to go. And that's the sign of a top class player, because they understand, you know, how to draw space and create space for not only themselves, but for others.
Yeah, and actually, Kelly touched on the fact that she gets fantastic service from her teammates as well, and that certainly helps, doesn't it? Right, Leicester City 1, Manchester United 3 wraps things up from the weekend. 4,473 fans at the King Power Stadium for their first game there with the supporters. What did you make of this one, Anita?
Yeah, you know, we played Leicester in the opening game and I thought they were a tough team to meet, especially their front two were a bit of a handful. So, you know, I expected it would be a good contest. I still expected that Man United would come out on top, and they did. Obviously, Elatoun had a fantastic strike that led to one of their goals. But ultimately, I still feel like Leicester will show a lot of what they're about this season, despite that result, and probably continue to improve. But Man United, you know, they, with all the transition, which often happens when you get a new coach, you know, you've got players that are going to compete for places in the starting lineup and also want to impress the new manager. So, you know, they started off with a really solid performance.
Yeah, and two of their new signings on the score sheet as well. Maria Torres-Dottir, of course, really simple finish for her. That Elatoun one was fantastic from 25 yards out. But Martha Thomas as well on the score sheet, restoring the two-goal lead they had. So two wins from two for Mark Skinner's side. What's he going to be able to achieve with Manchester United, bearing in mind what Casey Stoney had been saying about the club's lack of investment and support when she left?
Yeah, I guess you want to hope that all the things that were mentioned beforehand with Casey in terms of resources available to play, not available to players, and the lack of support, you want to hope that Mark's been able to establish that for this season to help them, you know, reach those small margins that, you know, define your season, but also allow you to compete with the top two, three sides. But, you know, they're off to a good start. They'll be high on confidence. And if they get all the right bits and pieces in place, including that support, then, you know, I'm sure they'll believe in their project.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what they can do. Right, you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. Those were the thoughts of Aston Villa defender Anita Asante. I'm Faye Carruthers, and next we're going to be rounding up the Championship, as well as hearing from the new England head coach, Serena Wiegmann, ahead of her first camp. This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the UK's only national radio show dedicated to women's football. I'm Faye Carruthers, alongside Aston Villa's Anita Asante. If you do miss any of the show, don't forget you can catch up by downloading the TalkSport app and subscribing to our podcast. You just need to search for Women's Football Weekly. It is as easy as that. Right, Championship results. Durham 2, Charlton 0. It finished. Blackburn 3-1 winners over Watford. Coventry United were defeated 3-0 by Sheffield United. Liverpool and Bristol City played out a goalless draw. Crystal Palace was 1-1 against Sunderland, and Lewis 1-0 winners over London City. It's going to be quite competitive, isn't it, the Championship this season, Anita?
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like there's so many more competitive sides, especially with sides like Charlton, London City Lionesses, and you know, going professional. So you've got more professional players who are training every day, players who have played also in the WSL, playing in the Championship, that are, you know, going to raise the standards as well, I think, for training and make it even more competitive, and players that are playing at those clubs who, you know, are going to keep fighting to try and get promotion for their side. So I think it's exciting to see so many more competitive games and close fought results.
Yeah, it really is, especially if, you know, potentially they would expand the FAWSL at some point. You know, you need these teams to be professional and knocking on the door and putting in good performances to make it a competitive WSL1, if you like. I know it's not called that anymore, but you know what I mean. Right, let's talk England, shall we? It was a delight for me to finally meet Serena Wiegmann, the new England head coach, last week at Wembley. She was officially unveiled, walking out of the Wembley tunnel, holding up a shirt. She looked pretty comfortable in her surroundings, actually, and a pretty determined woman as well to try and be successful with England. It's been a year since she was actually named England head coach, but we finally got to see her after her exploits with the Netherlands out in Tokyo with the Olympics. She named her first squad. There are games against North Macedonia on Friday in Southampton, which producer Flo is going to bring you updates of on the TalkSport network. Then Luxembourg away on Tuesday night. These are World Cup qualifiers as well, so important matches going into Australia and New Zealand how many years time? 2 years? 2 years time? Something like that? 2023? So there's some new and returning faces in the squad, but I've got a bit of breaking news for you from the FA, because Manchester City defender Esme Morgan has been forced to withdraw from the England squad. She had a shin injury that she picked up in that defeat to Tottenham Hotspur yesterday, but Serena Wiegmann not going to be calling up a replacement. A real shame for her as well, actually, Anita, because with Lucy Bronze out, she may have had an opportunity to start her first competitive game for England.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously we wish her all the best with her recovery, but really disappointing that she won't be available for this squad. She's a very young, exciting defender, and, you know, would have been a great opportunity, obviously, with Lucy Bronze out to try and show the new coach what she's all about and stake a claim in the future in the squad. But, you know, she's such a talent. I'm sure she'll bounce back, and there'll be many more opportunities in the future.
It's going to be a potential full debut for Katie Zellum of Manchester United, the captain there, of course, as well. She's exciting herself, isn't she? And waited a long time for her opportunity.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Katie Zellum going into the squad alongside, you know, her teammate Staniforth as well. So this is a great opportunity. Obviously, there are a lot of injuries to players that have previously been in the squad, but they've been consistent performers for their club throughout last season and this season, and they deserve the opportunity to be seen by the new coach and show what they're about and compete for a spot.
Yeah, it's really important that as well. And, you know, the players that are coming back into the squad, Jess Carter, not been involved for a long time, but been impressive and actually been playing, of course. And Lucy Staniforth herself for Manchester United, you know, gutted for her. She didn't get to go and put her potential. She's been out of the squad for a long time now. Important that those kind of experienced players are still on the periphery.
100%, because, you know, everybody's journey is different. They would have probably been disappointed not to be included in previous squads, but it's about how they've taken on that experience and transferred it to their club environment to improve and strive to be, you know, better players every single day. and do that on a consistent basis. And they've been demonstrating that for their clubs. So they are, you know, having the opportunity now, and hopefully they'll grab it with both hands.
Yeah, there are opportunities, particularly when, you know, big name players that are expected to always be in the squad are out. You know, the likes of Lucy Bronze, Kira Walsh and Ellie Roebuck all unavailable because of injury. Esme Morgan as well now too. But just to run through the squad in case some of you haven't heard it or seen it around just yet, going into Friday's match against North Macedonia. Mary Earps returns as well. She's been out in the wilderness for a fair while. Anita too. She's alongside Sandy McKeever and Carly Telford, of course, the experienced Carly Telford. Defenders, Millie Bright, Neve Charles, Rachel Daly as well, Jess Carter, Alex Greenwood, Steph Horton, Demi Stokes and Lotta Wubemoy of Arsenal, of course. Midfielders, Jill Scott, Lucy Staniforth, Georgia Stanway, Leah Williamson and Katie Zellum. And then forwards, Bethany England, Lauren Hemp, Fran Kirby, Beth Mead, Nikita Paris, Ebony Salmon, Ella Toon and Ellen White as well. It's quite an exciting side, and it's one that she's not actually really properly chosen herself, if you like, Serena Wiegmann. When I sat down and talked to her, she said she's not had the opportunity, obviously, to meet the players today. They were all meeting to meet the players yet. They were all meeting today. And, you know, she wants to try and get to know them individually. She's just had to rely on Hege Risa and her team to tell her the personalities of the players and what she can perhaps expect for them. So it's going to be interesting for her to see them in the few days run up that they've got before they go to St Mary's.
Yeah, absolutely. But it shows that she also trusts the staff that she's had around her to make those decisions and choices. It's exciting in the terms of there's a good blend of veteran players, experience and youth players, young players coming into the squad who haven't had as many call-ups in the past. And it's an exciting time for her to really see that blend of players. But I know it's really important to her to really connect with players on a human level and not just from just purely on football, which she's talked a lot about. She wants to get to know them quickly and sort of, you know, build the culture and environment within the squad. But it's exciting, I think, seeing the likes of Ebony Salmon come back into the fold and, you know, Beth Mead, who has obviously started in great form. I think she had something like 4 goals and 6 assists in 6 games, shows that she's also looking at players that are in brilliant form and will bring them in if she deems them worthy to have that opportunity again.
Absolutely. Why don't we hear from the woman herself, shall we? Because I spoke to her at the unveiling at Wembley and she said she really wants to take the Lionesses to the next level.
First of all, of course, the qualification World Cup and doing really well at the Euros. It's a real chance here in England to show. And yeah, I think the team's really good team. Great Britain was a little different, of course, because it's Great Britain. But there's so much potential. The game here has developed so much. Also, like everything besides that, so the competition, the visibility, the coverage on TV, all those things. Yeah, it's just very amazing that I can be part of it. And I hope with the team we can connect real well. We can bring the game to the next level. I think English is very good already, but hopefully I can add something, and we can bring the game to the next stage and win important games.
Just finally, Anita, what can she bring? I mean, she has experience as a player, obviously, and as a coach, having won the Euros, but it's a crucial time for England going into 2 massive major tournaments.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, obviously, she's going to have that winning mentality and knowledge of how to build a squad that will potentially deliver. But most importantly, she's looking at, you know, she's got, a 4-year contract. So it's about the Euros next year. It's about the World Cup in 2023. There's a long-term ambition and the players that she's calling into the squad kind of reflects that, she's not just looking for the here and now, but she's looking beyond until the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to seeing what England can do. And we will hear more from the new Lionesses head coach next week. Producer Flo is going to be covering England's World Cup qualifier against North Macedonia on Friday. So we'll look back on that one. And we'll also look ahead to Tuesday's match away in Luxembourg as well. We have run out of time here on Women's Football Weekly, though. Again, we've packed so much into the show, as always. Anita, always a delight to have you on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me on, guys.
What are your plans in the international break?
I'll be training still and finding those moments to put my feet up as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've got to have a little bit of balance there. The feet up, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant stuff. Speak to you soon. Thank you very much to Anita Asante, Vicky Jepson, Kelly Smith, producer Flo, and of course, all of you as ever for listening. Don't forget, if you do miss any of the show, download the Women's Football Weekly podcast. I tell you every week, you can do it by the TalkSport app. And just a reminder, we will be live on TalkSport Two in our usual Monday night slot, but this season at the slightly later time of 7 until 8.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.